Annie E. Casey Foundation.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Coming up, we're going to talk about recycling. This is Earth Day weekend coming up, and so we're going to have two experts about recycling. If you have a question about recycling, you can call us up at 813-239-9663. We're going to be on Facebook in a moment. You can find it on my Facebook page, Rob Lori, if you're friends with me. But first, two listener comments about yesterday's program. Yesterday, we got into a discussion about taxes, whether or not people are getting higher refunds this year, and also about the possible impeachment of President Trump. Here's what two listeners had to say following yesterday's show.
Bill, I live here in Tampa. I'm a registered nurse. I feel badly for the people who lost their travel deductions. I worked as a home health nurse, and that saves you. My taxes this year, nothing else changed. Total taxes was up $1,000. My refund was $120 as opposed to $1,100, but I adjust that to make sure that they don't keep my money. So they got another $1,000 on the same income, same write-offs. I lost all of my deductions, including my WMNF. Can't take them. Standardized.
This is Teresa in St. Pete. I don't like the guy in the White House either. I think his whole administration are just horrible human beings. But I don't want him impeached. And because the House can impeach him, the Senate will not convict him, and he's just going to win again in 2020. It'll make him a martyr, which I don't want. I'm with the guy that did the email about we need to vote him out. Just get him out. And if we can't do that, we need to flip the Senate. To me, that is very important, to flip the Senate, because if we get him again, and Supreme Court justices and other court, we can just stop him at all costs, like Republicans did to President Obama during his administration. They would not allow him to seat justices on the federal courts around this country. Thus, we all need to get out and vote.
A couple of listener comments that came in after yesterday's program. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Earth Day is this weekend, and today we're going to talk about the environment and what to do with our stuff. We're joined by Barbara Heineken, who is an environmental consultant, and Travis Barnes, who's the recycling coordinator in Hillsborough County. And Travis and Barbara, nice to see you guys again. Thank you for coming by MNF.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, so I saw an article I think it was the Atlantic magazine a few weeks ago, saying that China is no longer taking our recyclable material, and that recycling has become a problem because now a lot of the stuff that we recycle is ending up in landfills or being burned in incinerators. Is that true? Barbara?
Maybe just a little, but mostly. China was never taking all of our recyclables. They were just taking less than half of them. There's always been other markets outside this country, in Asia, India. But this country has always taken the bulk of our recyclables. And China is still taking some of it.
Is there a profit to be made from recyclables these days? Is there a profit to be made in glass and paper and aluminum?
It depends. So really it depends on the type of material that your individual municipality is generating and how clean and high quality that material is. There's definitely profits to be made. The overall cost of recycling is going up for a variety of reasons. And I think that's what's, in addition to what's going on with China, has led to the situation we're at, where there's a lot of challenges within recycling across the globe right now.
Do you still encourage people to recycle?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Why?
Well, first of all, let's remember, talking about Earth Day, why we started recycling. It's to protect our resources and reuse the resources that we have. So that's why we're doing it, not to make money. Recycling at your curb, that's service. You pay for a service, garbage, same thing, right? So that people thought that it was about making money was always a fallacy. I mean, when I started with the city, I said, this is a service. It costs money. The revenues never covered the cost of recycling. So yes, absolutely, keep recycling.
But it did offset part of the cost of that collection and sorting.
It did. Yeah. So we tell people, if recycling is important to you, call your county, call your city, tell them how important it is. And maybe you just need to pay a little more for the service, but it's a service.
All right, so you used to work for the city of Tampa. You were the recycling coordinator. Now you're in private business.
Yes.
Still doing recycling, though.
Absolutely.
That's Barbara Heineken. One of our guests, Travis Barnes, is here. He's the recycling coordinator in Hillsborough County, and our phone number is 813-239-9663. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. So if you have a question about recycling, call us up. And, you know, I'm wondering, what does it look like inside a recycling plant, Travis, when the big truck comes by and takes our cans and pours it into the truck, then I guess it goes down to some sort of center.
Right.
What's it look like on the inside?
That's a great question. I'm glad you asked. We're actually working with our education outreach to really try to get people to understand the process and how the system works so they can make better informed decisions on what can and can't be recycled when they're at home participating or wherever they're out at their work. Essentially, they're called material recovery facilities. Most of the municipalities within the Tampa Bay area, for your listeners, have single stream recycling, meaning all of those different types of paper, plastic, metals can be put in the same container, and then the facility does the hard work of sorting that material back out. Actually, on the Hillsborough County website, we have a video link to the material recovery facility for your viewers. It's a short 2 minutes. It's you can go to tampabayrecycles.org, and within that, there's a video link to that. And essentially, there's a variety of manual sorters with people physically doing things, and a lot of high-tech equipment, optical sorters, other types of magnets, other things that are extracting that material and separating it back out. And increasingly, the industry is moving towards more automation, more equipment, artificial intelligence, robots. All of that stuff is now coming to these material recovery facilities.
Barbara, what's the worst thing that people throw into their recycling bin? Yeah, that when it gets to the center, it gums up the works.
There's a lot of terrible things. I think high on the list or top of the list is plastic bags.
Plastic bags.
People are still putting their recyclables inside a plastic bag and putting that in. And Travis and I will tell you, none of that will get recycled. And it causes a lot of problems in the recycling facility. So the biggest thing you'll see on this is all the damage that those plastic bags do inside of a recycling facility.
What does it do to the machinery, to the equipment?
It gets tangled up in the equipment. And the facility has to stop and pull those bags out. And they have to do that, Travis, what, 2 or 3 times a day? And they can't operate with that happening.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with Barbara. Here locally and nationally, plastic bags and other tanglers, as Barbara mentioned, are the top contaminant. Things that can wrap up on that separation equipment, essentially gum up the works, as you said. Every scheduled break time, we have to send staff in there to manually cut that material out. It's very costly. It's very dangerous for them. And the whole time, we're losing productivity of recycling the stuff that we could be. And that's one of the drivers that's increasing processing cost, is because of that increased contamination. The more that the equipment is shut down, the more costly it's going to be to have a final end product put out.
So no plastic bags at all. Everything should go loose into the recycling bin.
That's correct. Clean, dry, and loose.
And remember that you can recycle those plastic bags. Just take them separately back to Publix or any supermarket. Walmart takes them, and they do get recycled. Right, and Rob, you were asking about your dry cleaning bag. I think people don't realize that there are any of those thin plastic works. It can be recycled together.
The plastic films.
Yeah.
Plastic films.
I got a ton of it because I got so much recycling. Let's go to Betty in St. Petersburg. Betty, you're on. We're talking about recycling on WMNF.
Hi. I'm new in town. I was living in Mexico where recycling is not happening the way it should. But I thought since there's a big blue box out here that everything would be great. But I'm told that you can't recycle styrofoam. And then I'm told, yes, Publix will take it. And I know it's the most deadly of many of the contaminants. And I'm just wondering what to do with the styrofoam. I just moved in. I have a lot of boxes with styrofoam in them.
Right, Betty, thanks for your call. So this is Travis with Hillsborough County, but I can speak to the fact that none of the local governments within the Bay Area can successfully recycle styrofoam. Primarily, the issue with that is the cost to get it to market. Styrofoam is mostly air. It's a lot of takes up a lot of volume. So if we had a whole truck filled with that material, it's often more costly and burns more gas to get it to market than it's worth. That's the issue with styrofoam recycling here locally and why we can't accept it. Places like Publix do have programs that are separate from our single stream systems where they're source separating out that material and they can recycle it. They often do so not necessarily to make money, but because they are providing that type of material with their vegetables and meats and other stuff that they do. So they do it as part of environmental stewardship. But in terms of recycling it cost effectively, it's not something we can do here locally, really.
Well, what is this country doing with that material? at one point I saw some construction where I was at a university, and I saw that they dug up styrofoam from under the ground. They had to actually put it in the ground to get rid of it.
Well, a lot of the facilities around here, we have waste-to-energy facilities over in Pinellas County as well as in Hillsborough County, where we actually incinerate the garbage to produce electricity. So that styrofoam has got high BTU content. Most of it will go to our incinerators, where we do incinerate it to produce electricity instead of landfilling it.
So it should just go with the regular trash?
Yes, ma'am. If you're not going to be able to take it back to Publix or a participating retail location, then definitely put it in your regular garbage.
You can. I think you can also check with Rooms to Go for stuff. You're talking about packing materials, like big pieces that come in your boxes. I'm pretty sure that Rooms to Go will take that back as well.
You should check. Well, if I haven't used their service, maybe they won't.
Well, maybe so. Okay.
Right. All right, Betty, thanks a lot. So, you know, one of the related frustrating things that I have is that sometimes I'll buy something that's maybe glass and it's in a box and it comes with those styrofoam peanuts that prevent breakage. But those peanuts, those little...
Don't put them in your recycling
bin. Don't put those in recycling. They are so frustrating. Yeah. Well, we've got two experts about local recycling. So if you've got a question about recycling here in the Tampa Bay area, call us up at 813-239-9663 or email your question into us. Our address is dj@wmnf.org. Barbara Heineken is an environmental consultant, and Travis Barnes is with Hillsborough County. He's the recycling coordinator. We know we've got listeners in Hardy and Pasco and Polk County and Sarasota and Pinellas County. We've got people listening all over the Bay Area, so we're going to be answering your questions. And even though both Barbara and Travis are centered here in the Tampa Hillsborough area, I'm sure they can steer you in the right direction, too. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. We are on Facebook. You can go to my Facebook page, Rob Lori, or you can look for Blanny Whalen, who's our Facebook coordinator today, and go to her Facebook page and see this video online, and you can share it with friends, too. David writes this, I thought I heard recently about Florida considering adding a bottle deposit program. Is that still in the works, and does it help in other states when they have a bottle deposit program? Does it help with glass recycling?
Well, that's a really interesting and good question. Thank you. So there is one being floated in the legislature. They want 25-cent deposit, and I'm pretty sure that it will never pass. We had a bottle legislation back in the early 90s. It wasn't even the way this one is, and it was gone in 2 years. So the state has never been very supportive of that. So up in the Northeast, there's a lot of bottle legislation, bottle deposit laws that have been in effect a long time. And they think that they love them, but they have their own collection issues associated with it. But they do get clean glass, if that's what you're asking about. Yes, they get the glass is very clean. It gets recycled well. But it's not going to happen here.
And that's because of the power of the lobby against it.
Big lobby against it.
Yeah, Barbara's right. This is an idea that's came up in the Florida legislature, you know, in several previous years as well, and always kind of gets tossed out there. One of the advantages of the bottle bill, it really does help reduce litter, because that bottle, that empty container on the sidewalk somewhere, someone's going to pick it up because it's a nickel or 20 cent or 25 cent, whatever it might be. So it's very helpful from a litter prevention standpoint. One of the negative issues with the bottle bills in some of the states is that the cost of administration is high. So the amount of money you're spending to recuperate the volume, the tonnage, is a little bit more costly. But then again, you have really high participation. So overall, in the places where it's working well. But that's just one of the negative issues with the bottle bills.
All right, let's go to Steve in Largo with his question about recycling. Steve, you're on 88.5 FM.
Thank you. I have more of a comment than I do a question, but I would say that it's partly a question. I feel that people need to be educated better about what is recyclable and stuff. And, you know, we have, I guess, blue cans that they pick up in the city of Largo. And I see all too often people throwing regular garbage in it, and it's just sad to see that. I know that it's costing, you know, the state or the city government or whoever lots of money.
Yeah, and Steve, that's why we're doing the show. We're doing the show for that very reason. We want to educate people about it. So, Travis, what happens when people put, for instance, food waste in recycling?
Right. So, essentially, we have kind of two problem recyclers, if you will, out there. And the national research and local research kind of validates this. On one end of the spectrum, you've got folks that are really apathetic, don't really care as much, not going to take the time to really learn about it, and are throwing, you know, garbage, treating it as a second garbage cart. On the other end of the spectrum, we have what we call wishful or aspirational recyclers that cause equal amount of problem in that they really want to recycle as much as they can. So they hyper recycle things that they assume to be recyclable that we can't recover in the curbside program.
Such as
anything with any type of plastic or any type of metal. These chairs we're sitting on have metal, but you can't throw it in your curbside cart. We see that type of stuff all the time in our facility.
How about a bowling ball? People, because it's made out of some kind of plastic, you cannot imagine how many bowling balls end up in a recycling facility. And as Travis said, any type of metal. Now, it's not all recyclable at a MRF. Now, it might be recyclable, but you're not supposed to put it in the recycling bin. So.
Right. Yeah, I think people need to understand that in the universe of recycling, everything out there, there's a lot of materials that can be recycled from one business to another. But in terms of your single stream curbside collection for municipalities, it's really targeting your beverage containers, that clean paper and cardboard, and your glass containers and plastic and metal food and beverage containers, not any type of metal. Within Hillsborough County and several of the other municipalities, we have scrap metal recycling areas where you can recycle that material, but your lawnmower blade or your kitchen sink can't go in your curbside cart. We see that type of material all the time, in addition to all different types of items with plastic and electronics and things that we can recycle elsewhere.
Plastic swimming pools in your backyard.
Yeah, I should say that this entire show is going to be on Facebook so people can share with their friends, because I know a lot of this is going by fast, but this will be a permanent record of what to do and what not to do when you recycle.
And I think it's really important that Travis mentioned that we have a lot of wishful or aspirational recyclers, and I think what they really need to understand is that no matter how much they want it to be recycled, it isn't going to be recycled. It will end up in the trash, and all they're doing is creating more cost to the system, and it will still end up in the garbage. So we really encourage you to just put it in the garbage if it's not on the list.
I want to ask you about pizza boxes.
Clean.
Okay, clean. Can it have any crust in it, or can it,
no.
if you have cheese on the pizza?
So
no cheese. Can it have grease in the box?
No.
No grease, no cheese, no crust. Okay.
So here's the thing. Think about, if you have a box that, the top gets the grease on it, or the cheese sticks to the top, but the bottom's perfectly clean. If you really want to recycle it, rip off the top and put the bottom in the recycle bin, the top in the garbage. At least you'd...
Okay, but a greasy pizza box, no way.
No.
And things like your regular containers of food, let's think about it. We want people to do what is going to make sense for their daily lives and that they participate and put the right things in. So if you've got that jar of peanut butter that you really don't feel like cleaning up for whatever reason, kids tugging on your leg, you don't have time for that day, it's okay to discard it and just remember next time recycle all the other good plastic containers that you have. So we don't want people just to throw in those types of items that are dirty because they can end up hurting the whole system. As
so clean the bottles out, the containers.
And they don't need to be spotless, just quick rinse and it's good to go.
Here's a related question. This is from Suzanne. She says, I feed my cats wet food in 3-ounce cans. Last Saturday, I visited the city recycling tent at EcoFest and asked them if the lids from these cans or any aluminum cans can be recycled. They told me nothing smaller than the palm of your hand should be put in a recycling bin. Is this true? I've been putting these cans, the cat food cans, in there for years.
Right. That item, since it's metal, probably would be recovered. But generally, they're correct in that the smaller items fall through the sorting equipment and end up getting into the residue pile with the grit and all the other items that break. So anything that's kind of, I like to say, smaller than the size of a hockey puck has much less probability of making it through the system successfully into the appropriate bunker. Because we have to keep in mind, a little piece of plastic, if it gets into a paper bale, is a contaminant in that paper bale, even though that piece of plastic might have been recoverable somewhere else within the facility.
So you have to throw out the whole paper bale because it's got a piece of plastic?
No, not necessarily, yes. And it's a sliding, just like any other commodity, there's a sliding scale. So all of the outbound material from these facilities, they actually have inspectors that come and look at the moisture content, what are the outthrows and contaminants that are within that, and then you get a price based on how clean your material is. Just like any other commodity, if you're looking at, food, soybeans, the really nice stuff might go to the high-end restaurants, and then the rest go to animal feed and so forth. Same thing with your your recycled commodities. If it's cleaner, you're going to get a better price for it and have higher demand for your outbound product.
All right, we're talking about recycling A to Z, and our guests are Barbara Heineken and Travis Barnes. And this is WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. Let's go to David in St. Petersburg. David, you're on. What's your question?
I heard earlier, I guess it's Barbara is your guest. She was saying that rooms to go or whatever takes the materials. I called them and they don't know anything about it. So saying things, I mean, how many calls are going to rooms to go now? Just on a probably maybe. And so anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there.
Okay.
Make sure you get it right.
All right, David, did you call him just now?
Yes.
Okay.
They don't really, you know, so it's like, you know, you can't just, you know, we got a lot of government agencies that you stand in line and then when you get to the front, they say, oh, no, we don't do that. And then you have to go here or call them. And then you do that and they don't know anything about it. So there's too much of that going on.
All right. David, thanks a lot. Thanks for the call. And let's go to John in Port Richey. John, you're on. What's your question?
Hey, thanks for the show. I'm in Pasco, and they do a really good job. And whenever I have any, like, questions, I call them up and ask them, and they're really good about answering the questions. But you already touched on a few of the points, like no food items. I always rinse my stuff out for two reasons. One, I figure it's better on the recycling end, but also I keep a little trash can under my sink until it gets full. Then I take it out to the blue bin, and if it's food products in there, that's just going to attract bugs. So it's like, rinse it out so it keeps it clean. One of my things, as you touched on too, is the lids. And you're saying smaller because the metal lids, like when I take off of a pickle jar or something like that, I throw those away because I don't think they're going to make it through the recycling center. But the soup cans, when I take that lid off, it's smaller than the palm of my hand. I take it and put it back in the can so it stays in there. Is that okay, or should I just throw that lid away too?
Yeah, that's okay to put the like I said, the metals, we have magnets that pull that stuff out a little bit more than some of the optical scanners and stuff that work on the plastics. So for metals, that might be one of the other exceptions that, you know, those magnets are pretty strong. They could pull that stuff out. But it is best to put the lid back in the can. It has a higher chance of making it through the system successfully that way.
Because that way it doesn't fall through the cracks or
correct.
The holes, whatever the sifting sits. So like when I use like a pickle jar that's, you know, about the size of my hand, when I open that can up, that lid's okay to recycle?
Yes, sir. Yeah, definitely the metals are a higher probability to make it through than, say, a plastic lid of that same size.
Well, yeah, let me just add to that about, like, water bottles and other kind of bottles that have a plastic lid. So it's a plastic bottle. If you leave that lid on, it will get recycled. If you throw it in the recycling cart or bin, it will just end up in the residue. But
it'll fall through the
right.
system.
Yeah, it's way too small.
Because I always throw the little plastic lid for those away, but putting it back on would be a good idea. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
And also, I really like the fact that Publix does the styrofoam now in the plastic bag. That's really good. And also, what you're saying, I really got to watch those things. Like when you get a box or something that's shrink-wrapped and you take that plastic off. You can't recycle that.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a little bit of work with that stuff. We just got some new furniture and stuff, and, you know, you've got to pull that plastic out, the styrofoam out, if you want to recycle it. But we really appreciate that you do that, because otherwise it makes it pretty unrecyclable.
Yeah. So one final question. How can we make this more cost-effective, either on the consumer side, because I know a lot of people are lazy and they don't want to do all the stuff that I do, or like you said, they just throw things in there because they don't know. Besides just education, or how can we make it more cost-effective? I'm sure they're working on it on the production side, but it seems like if you can make it easier for the consumer to redo these things in a way that would bring down the sorting costs on the other end, that would be a really good idea. But not sure how to do that other than just education.
Right, that's a big part of it. I mean, really, we need to get back to the basics. And the Florida Department of Environmental Protection has a great campaign they launched statewide here within Florida called Reset, Rethink, Recycle. And you can go check out their website at floridarecycles.org. And there, they really talk about the issues that contamination is causing and that we need to get back to focusing on the items that can be readily recycled across the state. But I think it's very important, John, you mentioned in Pasco County, that you reach out to your local municipality. That's exactly what all the listeners need to be doing. They need to check with their local jurisdiction, because all garbage is local. Everything varies based on their proximity to a market, their proximity to a processing plant, and their local contracts. So you really do need to check with your local waste hauler or your municipality to confirm which materials you can and can't recycle within your program.
All right, so we had that question earlier about styrofoam, and then the guy called up Rooms to Go, but how about this? Richard writes, packing peanuts can sometimes go back to a shipping store. Dart Company in Plant City recycles clean styrofoam, says Richard.
Absolutely. Dart's been around a long time, and yes, I mean, if you wanted to take it to them. In fact, when we had our earlier Earth Day events back more in the 90s, Dart used to come out and they'd collect clean recyclables. So yes, I don't think Travis or I have said that styrofoam is not recyclable. It's just that it's not cost effective. It ends up breaking if you put it in, you end up with little pieces of styrofoam. They're uncollectible. You know, so it just doesn't make sense to do it at the curb, but there are other ways to get it recycled, and Dart is a good example.
Right, and we actually have a link on Hillsborough County's website to that Dart facility out in Plant City, where we encourage people to go out there if they have a lot of styrofoam. But I want to make the point that we got to think about these items in the whole life cycle of these things. If you're driving, you know, 15, 20 miles to go take a little bit of styrofoam to that facility to recycle it, you're probably burning more fuel than the energy you're saving from the styrofoam. So in some of the decisions that were made, there might be a recycling market somewhere in the U.S., but it doesn't mean we can get to it in environmentally cost-effective way. And there's a lot more research going into sustainable materials management. University of Florida, Dr. Tim Townsend is doing some great research, as well as the Environmental Protection Agency at the federal level, and looking at what materials should we be targeting in the entire life cycle of the process so that we can recycle for the right reasons, which is to help the environment.
So we're answering all your questions about recycling in anticipation of Earth Day this weekend. And this is WMNF in Tampa. Marge writes this: where can I take my old computer components in Hillsborough County?
So within Hillsborough County, we operate the community collection centers, is what we call them. And if you're a Hillsborough County resident, you can take your recyclables there, your e-waste scrap, 6 days a week. And you can find information for that on our website. So it's hcflgov.net/recycling, and you can click on the electronics icon there and you'll see the community collection center sites that we have. Like I said, they're open 6 days a week. Several other municipalities in the area also have electronics recycling events or ways that you can recycle electronics. And even some of the stores do take back that type of material, so you need to check with them. I know Staples was operating a e-waste recycling program for a while.
Should we ever throw those old batteries that we have around the house in the trash?
The batteries, if they're alkaline, regular AA, you know, DC batteries, those can go in the garbage. They do not need to be taken to one of our electronics recycling. However, the rechargeable batteries are becoming a major problem throughout the solid waste industry because of the high energy load they have, and they've been causing fires at our material recovery facilities as well as solid waste facilities across the country. Yes. That's a really big concern
with
the rechargeable batteries. Those you do need to recycle correctly back at either like a Batteries Plus or one of our county sites.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go to Jody in Sarasota. Jody, thanks for calling in. What's your question about recycling?
I'd like to address this to my old buddy, Barb.
Hi, Jody. How are you?
Hey, good. I was going to ask about the 4 R's, but that's been touched on. So can you elaborate on the need for the public to seek and purchase recycled content items?
Great question, Jody. Yes, I mean, people need to, Travis and I were just talking about this before we came in. I mean, it's great to recycle. People feel really good about, they've filled up their recycling cart, but really, you got to look at ways to reduce, to buy things made from recycled products. That is tremendously important. Thanks for bringing that up. But look at ways to, I'm on a, you know, don't use single serve, right? So that'll give you less to recycle, but that's a good thing. Right, because you're going to use your reusable mug, your reusable whatever. So refuse. People don't want to use straws anymore. But I think there's a lot more single serve to look at, and then reuse and repurpose. We're seeing a lot more of that now. And then, of course, back to buy things that are made from recycled products. buy recycled products.
And there's been a lot of, just to add to that a little bit, there's been a lot of media attention as well over the past couple of years about the rising threat of plastics in the oceans and the pollution associated with plastics. And a lot of local governments, including Hillsborough County and over in St. Pete, they're doing some great work, are starting to focus on getting people to think about their consumption habits and thinking of ways to reduce their use of single-use plastics. And Hillsborough County actually just launched last month a new campaign called ReduceYourUseTampaBay.org, where we're going to be celebrating what businesses are doing in our area to voluntarily look at their operations and reduce their use of single-use plastics. And often they can do it in a way that's cost-effective for them and still provides great customer service to meet their needs for their respective customers.
All right, Jody, thanks a lot. Thanks, Jody. Dave in Gulfport says, what happens to the newspaper and cardboard when the bins have sat in the rain and gotten quite wet? Is it still recyclable?
Well, I don't know where you are, but in Hillsborough, Pinellas, and many places in Florida and around the country, we've gone to carts. In Florida, I think we really thought it was important to go to covered carts because of this problem of the paper and the getting wet. So makes a huge difference. And the paper is not very recyclable once it gets wet.
Right. The drier, the better. If you've got a newspaper, you've been out of town on the weekend, it's been sitting soggy out there, that's something you can probably leave out of the recycling bin for that particular week just because it's so wet and it's hard to recover through the system. It basically gets stuck on all of the conveyor belts and everything like that. Yeah. But essentially, you want your paper to be clean, dry, and loose to put in the cart.
What about milk cartons and almond milk cartons and things like that? Are they recyclable?
Yes, they are. It's actually a client of mine, the industry association that does that. Milk cartons are high-grade paper. They are recyclable.
Do I have to rinse them?
You should, please.
Yeah.
Back to clean and empty.
Take the top off?
You don't have to.
Okay.
All right, and I just want to throw out, because I've been in this industry a long time. When I first started in Tampa, technology that was in the early 90s, the technology was very different then, and I used to tell everybody, in fact, it was promotional material, step on your cartons, step on your plastic bottles. Now, the way the technology is, optical sorters, they look for 3D. And so don't step on it. So don't flatten, okay?
And I think an underlying theme here that Barbara kind of touched on that I'd like to bring to light is that systems change, technology changes. So you always need to be aware, even if you've been recycling for decades or just starting, that recycling is dependent on what your local facility can process.
That's right.
And what your local government can accept in their program, because it does vary. Just because you go out and do a Google search and can see, hey, one particular item is recyclable somewhere, does not mean that your local government can do it successfully or cost effectively. So, and things are always changing. There's new types of packages coming out all the time. Some of them have great upstream environmental benefits, but not necessarily can be recycled in your curbside cart, like the flexible pouches. And they're working on that. You know, example with the Starkist tuna, you used to be able to get the can of tuna that was readily recyclable. That pouch is not recyclable, but the overall environmental benefits of switching to the pouch are great because there's less resources going into it in the first place, and you know, less material, less fuel getting it to market, a variety of other things.
A lot of stuff comes in pouches these days.
Yes. And there's a lot of effort being made by industry and to try and figure out how to recycle those.
Barbara Heineken is our guest. She was once the recycle coordinator in the city of Tampa. Now she's in private business. And then also here is Travis Barnes, who's the recycling coordinator for Hillsborough County. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Steve in St. Pete writes, after I learned how mammoth the task is for single stream sorting, I stopped recycling small items such as bottle tops and straws. If someone has to pick through everything in the stream, I can see how the small stuff is just not worth it. That's Steve in St. Pete.
Well, it's not that. It's more than not worth it. It won't make it through the system is the really important point. And it's just extra. Remember, I said earlier that you can put the caps back on and they will actually then get recycled. But anything smaller than, 2 inches by 2 inches will not make it. Or Travis said palm of the hand. So.
Okay. Well, let's go to Boris in Safety Harbor. Boris, you're on M&F. What's your question?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I was concerned about the effects of the recycling industry because of the recent decision that China had quit accepting our plastic. And I was wondering how that has changed the industry and if there's still a valid market for that plastic.
All right, Boris, thanks a lot. That's the way we started the show.
Yes, we did. And it's not just the plastic, it's paper as well. Actually, it's more paper that was the problem.
Correct.
That China was not taking. But again, what we said earlier is that China never took all of our materials. They are still taking plenty of OCC cardboard. And we have plenty of other markets, both in Asia, Malaysia, Thailand, India, Korea, Mexico, that are taking all of these materials. And I think if I haven't said it, I'll say it, that plastic, there's several mills in this country that are looking for more plastic.
What's the most recyclable form of plastic?
It really depends. The PET, like your water bottles, and the HDPE, which is like your milk jugs, are probably the two biggest by just tonnage, I would imagine.
And then right after that is what I was telling you, yogurt cups. You were asking about yogurt cups. They're made out of number 5, polypropylene. And the market for polypropylene is exploding and getting high value
Recycle those yogurt cups after you rinse them out.
Right. And it's important to note, too, that China is accepting secondarily processed recyclables. They're just not accepting the raw bales of material right out of the back of our facility. So now they're importing the pelletized that's already been a little bit sorted and cleaned up a little bit. And a lot of that is due to the fact that there were some bad actors that were sending basically garbage dressed up with recycling on the bales, and a variety of other things were abusing their system. So even though it's a major shock temporarily into the markets because there's less demand than there was, it will adjust and recover. There's been other times within the recycling industry where the markets have been this low.
And China needs the material. And so, I mean, Travis alluded to it. China is investing in mills in this country. They've just bought several mills in this country, and they're building mills as well, both for plastic and paper.
Now, we've been over this, but let's ask it one more time. Jerome says, I've received conflicting information. What about plastic soda bottles, including the cap? Should I leave the cap on? Should I make it loose, or should I take it off completely?
You want to leave the cap on. It has a higher chance for that cap to make it through the system successfully. If you have like the pickle jar that one of the other callers mentioned, where you've got glass within the metal lid, then you'd want to separate it so that the metal can go into the metal bunker and the glass into the glass bunker.
We're answering all your questions about recycling. Boris in Safety Harbor, thanks for your call. Let's go to Andy in Tampa. Andy, you're on. What's your question?
Yeah, I was concerned about the different kinds of mattresses. You know, there's the air mattress and inner springs, memory foam, waterbed mattress. What kind of mattress is the easiest to recycle?
None.
Yeah, mattresses are very hard, and there's the ick factor with the mattresses as well. There was a company that was down in the Miami area, I believe a couple years ago, that had approached some of the municipalities here trying to get some programs started with that. Seeing that most of the Tampa Bay area relies on waste-to-energy facilities, we normally try to get that material either through the incinerator or, you know, it does go to the landfill. It's very hard to cost-effectively recycle mattresses. This is why you don't see it as common throughout the U.S.
Okay, there you go, Andy.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks a lot. This is WMNF in Tampa. Wendell writes this, no pizza boxes really, all caps, he writes. And he says that info should be clearly labeled on the recycling bin. Everybody orders pizza from time to time. Doesn't the heat during reprocessing burn off all unnecessary particulates? That's Wendell in downtown St. Pete.
Right. Yeah. So, and people, you know, we kind of think about all these little one-off thing like the bottle caps and the dirty pizza boxes. In reality, those are a very small percentage of the overall waste stream when we talk about recycling. So I'd like to kind of refocus us back to, you know, back to the basics. If you're doing your clean bottles and cans and containers, your clean paper and your clean cardboard and your glass bottles, then you're doing your part. And that's what we need you to do. And to really help talk to your friends and neighbors that maybe don't participate. That's going to have a much bigger role than fixating on the small little items like the straws or the other things that can't make it through the system successfully. But back to the paper, essentially the paper mills don't want that greasy paper. It would make it through our system successfully. It's not going to damage our equipment per se at the facility, but the people that are buying the paper don't want that low grade paper. And that's why we don't accept it, unlike the plastic bags, which actually damage our equipment. So not all contaminants had the same threshold for causing problems at our facility.
Remember that pizza box or whatever is going to be made into a new product. Maybe it's tissue products or other a cereal box. So having grease on it is not going to be helpful to making a good product.
Is any type of clothing recyclable?
Not within curbside programs, but there's lots of donation drop boxes and other Salvation Army, others that will take that. And there's a very robust textile recycling industry. A lot of the stuff can either be reused here locally for families that need it, or it can be turned into rags or shipped overseas, developing countries, a variety of textile recycling, but none of it can be recycled in your curbside carts.
All right. None in your curbside cart. Let's go to Mary in Sarasota. Mary, what's your question?
I have a couple of points to make. I just want to thank you guys because I'm a wistful recycler, and I've heard you, of other programs, Rob, that you've had, and it's helped me a lot to not put a bunch of junk in my recycling.
We appreciate that, Mary.
I'm getting better. But I have, you brought up pouches, and I always heard like the empty coffee wrapper, you know, what holds your coffee is kind of metally pouch. Are those recyclable?
Which ones are you talking about, Mary?
Like what the pouches you get coffee.
They look like sort of like aluminum foil, but they're not quite aluminum foil.
Right. Those are not recyclable in the curbside programs. Most of the curbside programs can't accept aluminum foil either, even though it's aluminum, because they're really designed to capture those food and beverage containers. So if it's a metal container, then you're good to go. But the foil, we can't really recover.
So I should not ball up aluminum foil.
No.
No. Oh, I did that once.
I bet you.
I probably gummed up the whole works.
Well, I fold it.
You fold it? Okay.
A lot of plastic bag type stuff, like I get bags of frozen fruit and vegetables and things, and I wash them out and I send them to Publix. Is that more economical to be washing some of that stuff, or should I just throw it in the trash? I mean, I have that hard thing when it comes to water usage and recycling, kind of, you know, I don't know. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. So I would say most of that material, you probably don't need to rinse it as thoroughly as it sounds like that you are doing. It doesn't need to be completely spotless. You just don't want to have food residue in there that's going to attract, you know, roaches and other insects and stuff to their site. But there is a lot of research going into, as we talked about earlier, the sustainable materials management, where they're looking at water consumption as one of the environmental factors that they look at. And there's been studies out there that show even with a quick rinse, recycling is saving water, because there's a lot of water that goes into extracting those raw materials from the environment, processing it into a food grade material, and then getting it on your shelf. So even though you're using a little bit of water to clean out these containers, overall the act of recycling is saving water.
Okay, good. That makes me feel good.
Good.
And I'd tell everybody to get water filters so they stop using plastic bottles.
There you go.
That's right.
That's
all right,
good.
Mary.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. And let's go to Jim in Tampa. He's been holding for a while. Jim, you're on. What's your question?
Hi, this is Jim in Tampa. I just want to shout out to Barbara. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Jim.
Backing her up on the recycling of some items through stores, Home Depot accepts packing boxes. So if you have old moving boxes and things like that, just flatten them out without tearing them up and take them to Home Depot. They take them right off your hands. That's all I have to say.
All right,
and
Jim.
They'll recycle them. I mean,
yes, they will. They reuse them or resell them to customers.
Okay.
All right. We're answering every question you've ever had about recycling today on WMNF in Tampa in anticipation of Earth Day. Peter from Largo says, is anyone trying to tax things like packing styrofoam peanuts to make it practical to recycle, or better yet, force it off the market, writes Peter.
So over in Europe and increasingly more in Canada, we see what's called extended producer responsibility, or EPR policies, that actually require the manufacturer of that packaging type to be responsible for the end of life of that material that they're putting out into the marketplace. That's something that is growing in attention in the U.S. as well, but we're definitely not there yet with what you're seeing over in Europe, where they're really starting to require the manufacturers to take full ownership of the packaging that they have.
But I would say that even without that, you're seeing a lot of, you know, I work with a lot of industry now. You're seeing a lot of industry taking responsibility for their packaging. They're putting a lot of money into it to try and make them more recyclable and more sustainable materials as well, as Travis mentioned earlier. So the extended producer responsibility, we are seeing some of that in the Northeast, not really down here at all. But again, what I'm telling you is that there's a lot of industry associations taking the responsibility, putting a lot of money into making the materials more sustainable and more recyclable.
Let's go to Catherine in Polk County. Hi, Catherine. You're on WMNF.
Hey, Rob. This is over in Lake Wales, and I'm really glad to hear you on the radio. The other thing, I'm from Polk County, and they have said that they're not taking glass anymore because of the situation with China. And so I'm interested that Hillsborough sounds like that they are taking glass. And could you, your guest, comment on that issue?
Yeah, we can touch on glass. For one thing, glass has never really been part of the equation with what's going on with China. That's more focused on the mixed paper and, to a lesser extent, the mixed plastics. But glass is one of the more challenging items to recover because, one, it's heavy, and then, two, it breaks down in the single-stream system, and then those glass shards do end up scraping conveyor belts and causing damage to other equipment in there. And often the market for recycled glass can be a negative value, meaning that you've got to pay someone to take it to actually recycle it back into, you know, beverage bottles or fiberglass medium, sandblasting medium, whatever it might be. That said, you would have to pay to dispose of that material anyway. So even though there's a negative value, sometimes it's still cheaper than having to pay the tipping fee at one of the landfills. We're fortunate here on our side of Florida that we have Strategic Materials. They're located down in Sarasota County. They operate a robust glass recycling facility down there, and they're happy to accept our materials. So Hillsborough County currently is still accepting glass, although glass is one of the items that several municipalities are considering potentially removing because it is more costly.
Well, one of the concerns that I have as a taxpayer in Polk County is that it's easier to pack things into our landfill today than to consider future costs of creating another landfill, because they tell us that it's cheaper to you know, to put these things into the landfill than to recycle them. So I'm just wondering if we're not getting it cheaper today at the expense of higher costs tomorrow.
Well, again, let's get back to why we recycle. Because these are resources. You put them in a landfill. I mean, there are people who mine landfills because there are a lot of resources sitting in that landfill that don't go away ever. So it sounds cheaper, but it's not really cheaper in the long run.
There you go. There's your answer, Catherine.
But can she explain that rationale? Because eventually somebody may come back and get that material if it's valuable.
Well,
is that what?
No, I mean, I'm telling you that what's in there is our resources. So what I'm really saying is they should not, it's not really the right thing to do with good recyclables. Again, if you as we've been saying all along in the show, if you recycle right, you've got good resources that are valuable. You know, the plastics, the paper, all of the metals are worth money. They're resources that come out of the ground that need to be mined, and all of that costs money. So to say that landfill is cheap.
So are you telling us that we need to go back and readdress this with our county commission?
Yes.
And to question them a little harder on what their rationale is with our recycling program?
Absolutely. I think that everybody needs to feel that they need to talk to their local government and tell them that this is important to them and why are they doing it this way.
Yeah, Catherine, she agrees with you. Catherine, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, good to hear from you. Here's an email that says, several years ago, they said you could recycle envelopes that have film windows on them. Can you recycle those envelopes? Also, when we get receipts, paper receipts, can we recycle those?
The envelopes with the little plastic, that's acceptable. That's okay. That little bit of plastic is just, you know, part of doing business, if you will, for those paper mills. The receipts are one of the issues that I've heard are not recyclable. There's often issues with that, the ink that's on the receipts. I've heard safety concerns about that and just the fact that it's lower grade paper to begin with.
It's little pieces too.
Right. So we often do not recommend receipts to be recycled because it's, like Barbara said, smaller pieces and there is issues with some of the ink on it.
Barbara Heineken is here. She is in private industry now. Your website, is it recycled.com?
Recycled.com, yes. Right. I work for a consulting firm called Resource Recycling Systems. We've been around over 30 years. Really good company.
That's Barbara Heineken, and also here Travis Barnes. He's the recycling coordinator in all of Hillsborough County, and you're listening to 88.5 FM. Let's go to Carlos in Tampa. Carlos, thank you for calling in.
Hey, hi, Rob. I have a couple of comments to make. Yeah, we are the U.S. comparison with the rest of the world, and especially Europe. We're just like the spoiled kid. I was in Europe just 3 months ago, and they have this program. For example, you go to the store, you need to bring your own bag. If you want plastic, you are going to get charged for plastic. At the same time, you know what I mean? When it comes to recycling, like computers and all hazard material, you know what Europe does? They go, they pack, I'm saying millions of tons, and they send them in the countries of Africa. It's like Senegal, it's like Morocco. And what's going to happen to that material there? It's just buried on the earth, and you end up killing these poor people. I mean, you can see on one side, oh, they're doing a great job. They are really, you know, trying to help the environment. But when you look at the other side, look at what they are doing to the third world in Africa.
Carlos, so this is Travis. So I'd say that you're correct in that the U.S., we generate more waste per capita than any other nation. So we've got to, you know, take a look in the mirror and think about ways that we can be more responsible with the waste that we're generating. I will say, to let us off the hook a little bit, it's not that, you know, Americans are lazy and that we're all apathetic, although there is a piece of that, but there's often economic drivers of that as well. And over in Europe, they have much less land, much higher population density, higher cost of energy. So unfortunately, as the caller mentioned, in Polk County, landfilling is a cheap option in the U.S. because we have abundant land and we have cheaper energy often. So it's sometimes the cost is what drives those policies over in Europe, but there is much more of a culture of understanding that we've got to be responsible with the waste that we generate, and we would definitely like to see more of that in the U.S. and for people to understand there's going to be consequences long-term and short-term to us just discarding everything.
All right, Carlos, thanks a lot.
And education is the key.
That's right. And that's what this show is all about. Thanks, Carlos. Sound Guy writes from Pasco County. My local library in Pasco has battery recycling containers in the lobby, and you can also recycle eyeglasses there, too, writes Sound Guy. Sound Guy, thank you for that. Let's go to Gus in Tampa. Gus, you're on with Travis and Barbara.
Hi, great show. I just started listening. I'm not sure if you covered this before, but fishing line is a real problem. I belong to an environmental group, and we monitor monitor tubes over at piers and at bridges, and it's amazing stuff that they put in there besides fishing line. But also, I wanted to tell the fishermen that whenever they're fishing by the mangroves, if their line gets snagged on there, to please make an effort to go get it if possible. I was fishing over by Fort DeSoto a couple of weeks ago, one of the keys, and there was a dead pelican hanging from the branches, and it was tangled up in monofilament on there. So, and it's really, you know, a tragedy when you see that ugly death for them. So just wanted to make sure to let all the fishermen out there know to please recycle their fishing line.
All right, Gus, thanks a lot. Good point.
With that, Gus, I'd say that City of Tampa and Hillsborough County both partner with the local nonprofit Keep Tampa Bay Beautiful, and we do have monofilament recycling receptacles out at many of the public fishing piers and spots, and we actually have a program where you can adopt one of those and, you know, volunteer to go out and periodically accept that material from it. But that is an effort that we're trying to do here locally.
And I'm pretty sure that Keep Pinellas Beautiful has a similar program as well. So if you're in Pinellas, look for that.
Deborah's in Sarasota. She says, I'm an adamant recycler. I keep a tall basket at my front door, which I fill with plastic bags and styrofoam. When it's full, I take it to Publix and stuff it into the recycling bins there. I take alkaline batteries to the Batteries and More store for a small fee. They will recycle them, too. And let's go to Jim Port Richie. Jim, you're on. We just have 30 seconds.
Just came from the recycling yard this morning.
Good.
I wanted to mention that when you clean out your cans, I started saving 5 years ago, you can rinse them out with rainwater. There's a Pasco County incinerator also. He mentioned Hillsborough and Pinellas, but Pasco has one. We pay an incinerator fee. Polypropylene, I think it goes to making car batteries.
Polypropylene makes all kinds of, it's made into all kinds of stuff. And there's a big plant in Alabama that's just wanting more polypropylene.
Yeah, I learned that in 47 years ago working in a battery factory. The batteries, the regular flashlight batteries, you can recycle in Pasco in the library.
Yep. Okay. Somebody just mentioned that too, Jim. Jim, thanks a lot. Yeah,
thanks
Thank
a lot,
you
lot,
for
man.
That.
Bye-bye.
And then Suzanne just wants to clarify, can you recycle small yogurt containers that are smaller than 2.5 inches across?
No.
Yeah. So. I say general rule of thumb for me is a hockey puck is something people can all visualize. Right. Anything smaller than that has a very slim chance of making it through the system successfully.
Travis, can people call you with their recycling questions or find you online?
Absolutely, yeah. You can go to our website. You can just Google search Hillsborough County Recycling. Will be one of the first things that pops up. And we're happy to take any of your calls. There's a lot of good information on our websites. And for your broader audience, TampaBayRecycles.org is an easy website to remember. Once you get there, you can go back to your respective municipality and get more information specific to them.
That's Travis Barnes, the recycling coordinator in Hillsborough County. Barbara Heineken, thank you for coming by. What's your website?
Recycle.com.
That's easy.
Yeah.
How'd you get that?
We were one of the first.
Way to go. Well, cool, that says a lot, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
Well, stay tuned for your hero, Mark Biro. He's coming up next right here on WMNF in Tampa. Thanks to Blanny Whalen, and thanks to Jan Simpson, our phone producer today. This is WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg.